There is a book which I have found incredibly useful at various times in my life, particularly those times when I'm trying to discern that which God might be calling me to do or where God might be calling me to go. It's written by a man named Parker Palmer. I know some of you have heard of him. He's a writer, a teacher, an activist. And his book, Let Your Life Speak, Listening for the Voice of Vocation, is very useful, at least I find, in listening to the ways in which God might be calling us. And in that book, Palmer shares some of his own experiences. And he relates one in this book about a particular time in his life. He has a PhD, he has taught at different times, he's also a community organizer, he's done many different things in life. He's lived in a Quaker community. And at one particular point, he received a call, and it was an offer. He was being offered to become president of a small college. And what was clear from the conversation was, if he said yes, that job was his. So he did what any good Quaker does. He convened a clearness committee. Quakers are, of course, known for listening, for sitting and dwelling in the silence and waiting for God to speak. And when confronted with making an important decision, Quakers have this process called a clearness committee of bringing people together for 3 hours to sit in silence, to ask open-ended questions of the person who is trying to discern, and listening to what God is saying in the silence to each individual through the questions and through the answers. So he convenes his clearness committee, and they ask him a bunch of open-ended questions. And then one person asks this question: what would you most like about being a president? Seems a reasonable question, as that's what he is discerning. He begins to answer, and all of his answers are actually negative. He says, I would miss writing and teaching. I wouldn't like wearing a suit and tie every day. I wouldn't like the politics of academia. I wouldn't like traveling around asking for money. He goes through this long list of all the reasons he wouldn't like to be a president. One of the people in the committee says to him, may I remind you of what the question actually is? What would you like about being a president? There was a very long silence. And then I'll tell you what happened next by actually quoting from the book. He says it so well. He writes, well, I said in the smallest voice I possess, I guess what I'd like most is getting my picture in the paper with the word president under it. I was sitting with seasoned Quakers who knew that, though my answer was laughable, my mortal soul was clearly at stake. They did not laugh at all, but went into a long and serious silence, a silence in which I could only sweat and inwardly groan. Finally, my questioner broke the silence with a question. Parker, he said, can you think of an easier way to get your picture in the paper? From that questioning, he realized he was not being called to be a president. Maybe he was being called to have his picture in the paper, but not to be a president. And he realized that that job would have been bad for him if he had said yes, and in his words, would be a disaster for the college. This leads me to ask, what is our vocation? What is your vocation? What is mine? How do we discern our vocation? How do we know that to which God is calling us? For too long, I think, when the church has talked about vocation and talked about call, it has meant the call to holy orders, the call of the ordained. It's meant discerning whether someone's called to be a deacon or a priest. But the reality is that every one of us is called by God, and called by God through the waters of baptism. It is through baptism that we put on Christ. We are incorporated into Christ's body, we are marked as Christ's own forever, and then we are sent out to be the body of Christ in the world, bringing that light of Christ we heard about in our in the collect of the day, bringing that light of Christ out into the world. And for lady, that means being the body of Christ, the church, at work in the world. In the baptism, through the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit descends upon us and fills us with power for that work. The power to hear God's call, the power to answer that call, the power to do that work which God has uniquely given each of us to do. Our lessons today, as you may have noticed, are all about call. We have that first lesson from the first book of Samuel, the very opening of that book. Samuel is a boy. His mother was so grateful to have given birth to him, she dedicates him to God. And he lives in the temple with Eli, the elderly and going blind priest. One night, Samuel is going to sleep. He lays down in the temple. It is quiet. And we're told that he did not yet know the Lord. And as you heard in the lesson, he is called. And each time he thinks it is Eli, the priest, calling him. And Eli knows he's not calling. And eventually Eli realizes, this is God who is calling Samuel. So Eli says to Samuel, go lay down, and the next time answer, here I am. I'm your servant. I'm listening. Talk to God. And so sure enough, God calls again. And Samuel hears the call, answers God, and is given the word of God. And then begins a life for Samuel of being God's prophet, of God speaking to him and asking him to bring God's word to the people. The word that he's given in today's lesson is not easy. It's against the sons of Eli. They have not been faithful. They have been blaspheming. They are not the faithful priests God would have them be. And so God is not favoring them, and God is going to, through Samuel, raise up new people. Samuel does not, of course, want to share this with Eli, but Eli knows he needs to hear this word of God no matter how hard it will be. And then begins Samuel's life of hearing the word of God and telling it to people, including to kings, to those in power. That call to Samuel, of course, comes in silence. It comes in the quiet of the night. And it comes in the presence of the Lord, in the temple. That's where Samuel was able to hear God's voice. But Samuel didn't recognize at first that it was God calling. He thought it was Eli. I think we can learn about the call of God and how that happens to us, how it comes when we're in the presence of God, when we're being quiet, when we might be in prayer or engaging scripture, or just quiet and listening. And I think it's also true the call of God can come to us and we can miss it. We cannot see it for what it is. Samuel needed Eli. Parker Palmer needed to convene his clearness committee. It sometimes takes other people to observe what's happening in our lives, to hear the call, to explain it to us. Our gospel is also about call. It's about Jesus calling the first disciples. Just before today's passage, Jesus has already called Andrew and Peter. And now he meets Philip, and he says to Philip, come follow. I'm always, always struck by those disciples who hear Jesus' invitation to follow and just drop everything and go. And so it is, presumably, with Philip. We don't hear any objection. We hear the invitation and we see Philip going. And not only does Philip go, but Philip invites Nathanael. Now, Nathanael's a different case. He is not so convinced. He is actually skeptical. He knows Nazareth, where Jesus is from, as a small little town out in the country. What good can come from Nazareth? Can this great rabbi really have come from there? And I love Philip's response. He doesn't argue. He doesn't try to convince or persuade. He just says to Nathanael, come and see. Come check this out. See what you think when you meet this one I think is the rabbi. And so Nathanael goes and suspends his skepticism. And in encountering Jesus, meets one who knows him. Jesus already knows something about Nathanael. Jesus has that ability to see deep inside us, to see who we are, maybe even better than we do. And in that experience, Nathanael then comes to see for himself who Jesus is. Nathanael calls him the rabbi, the son of God, the king of Israel. Nathanael goes from doubting and being skeptical to having a revelation of God. Jesus assures him that that's nothing. You'll see even greater things. And Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. In the season after the Epiphany, this time when we look for the revelation of God, the manifestation of who Jesus is, Jesus is assuring Nathanael that you'll see even more. Jesus himself is that connection, heaven to earth, evoking images of Jacob's ladder in the Hebrew scripture, of angels ascending and descending on that ladder. Jesus is the one who is fully human, fully divine, is the one who connects the divinity, the eternity of heaven to humanity, to our finite creatures, and brings us together, lifting us to that divinity. Ultimately, this revelation that all of these people have comes down to listening, to hearing, and to speaking. The light of the incarnate word is shared through our vocations, through our words, our actions, our listening, and our speaking. That's how this one who is both eternal and human is made known. This is how Jesus is revealed to the nations. Ultimately, the call to each of us is a call to say yes to Jesus, to be disciples of Jesus. Our vocation is to be on the path of following Jesus. So I ask you this day, what is your vocation? How is God uniquely calling you? For some, I know that is actually what you do for paid work, profession, that is vocation. For others, it's not. I also know from my own life that God calls over and over again, and that call can change over time. That God can call us to new things, things we couldn't even imagine we might be called to do. So what is your vocation? How is God calling you to live out that vocation? If you're not certain, the keys are found in today's gospel in that first lesson. It's about taking time in silence and in prayer, bringing yourself into the presence of God, listening to God's call to you. It's about talking with others, like Samuel did with Eli. Sometimes other people have insights we might miss ourselves. It's listening to our hearts. What is our deep desire? And where does our deep desire meet the deep need of the world? It's in following our dreams, listening to those dreams that we have, those ideas we have that might take us off in new, even seemingly impractical directions. But it's to set out, just like Philip bringing Nathanael to come and see, is to set out into that untried territory and see where God might be bringing us, see how Jesus is revealed in answering that call. So let us this day say yes to that invitation of Jesus, to that vocation which is ours. May we be followers of Jesus on that road, taking us wherever it might lead, and be faithful in bearing that light of Christ, reflecting it out into the brokenness and the neediness of our world. May we say yes to that invitation to come and see, to follow Jesus where he would take us. Say yes to living our vocations as the beloved sons and daughters of God. Amen.